We do welcome you this morning to Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church, and we trust the Lord will be with you as you meet with us around the Word of God. The Bible says, "O come and let us worship the Lord. Let us bow down before the Lord our Maker. Let us engage in prayer." Our gracious God and eternal Father, we pray for thy presence with us this morning. So meet together around thy Word, that thou wouldst speak to every heart, that thou wilt challenge thy people, that thou wilt speak to the unsaved, that thou wilt restore the backslidden. And, O God, we pray that thou wouldst meet with us this day, that we might know in a very special sense the presence and the power of the Lord. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're joining the opening psalm, the Psalm 124, second version. Now Israel may say, and that truly, if that the Lord had not our cause maintained, if that the Lord had not our right sustained, when cruel men who us desired to slay rose up in wrath to make of us their prey. Let us unite together in prayer. Our gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, O God, that we can come to Thee today in that worthy and precious name, the name of Jesus. And we seek Thy face for Thy blessing upon us as we meet together. We pray that Thou wilt speak to all our hearts. Settle us, Lord, that we might listen to Thy word, that we might hear the message that Thou hast for us today, and grant that we might be obedient unto Thy voice. We thank You for all Thy mercies to us, down through the years, and even bringing us to this particular time. And Lord, we ask of Thee, even in this Lord's day, that Thou wilt pour out Thy Spirit upon our waiting hearts. And we pray, Father, that Thou wouldst open the Scriptures to us, that we might see Christ in the Word today, and that we might be encouraged, that we might be enthused, that we might be, O God, those that receive the Word. And Lord, it might be hidden in our hearts, lest we should sin against the Lord. Father, we ask of Thee for those with particular needs today, those who are distressed. We pray that Thou wilt uplift them. We pray for those who need comfort, that Thou wouldst put Thy loving arms around about them. We pray for those who are in the midst of sickness, that Thou wouldst touch them and heal them and restore them. Let us know the many, O God, who have various appointments, even in our church family. Those, O God, who have various consultations, various visits to physicians. We pray that Thou wilt meet their needs at this time, that Thou wouldst remember those who are particularly affected by this lockdown and all of the restrictions that there are presently in our society. We ask, Lord, that Thou wilt draw near to them and that Thou wouldst grant them grace and help even through these times. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy mercies toward us. Thank You for Thy preservation upon us. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt continue to meet our needs in these days. Remember our government, O God, as Thou hast told us to pray for those in authority. We pray for their decision-making, that, Lord, Thou wilt guide them in all of these matters. And grant, O God, that Thou wilt, through all the matters that are discussed and decided upon, society will be protected even from this virus, from its further spread, and even the vaccines that have been discovered and approved may be used, O God, to help in this situation. We believe, Lord, that Thou hast been answering prayer. Thank You for those to whom Thou hast given wisdom and skills in these matters. And we pray that Thou wilt continue to help in our land, in our nation, and across the world in these times. O God, we pray that Thou wilt turn the hearts of governments and the peoples of the world to Thee. O God, in these times, bless Thy word as it goes forth, that it may go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that many will be reached this day and brought to saving faith in Christ. And Thy people will be revived, and our land will be delivered, and this world will be turned, and many, many people within it turned in saving faith to Thee. Hear us now, we pray. Bless us with Thy presence throughout this service. We'd be careful to ascribe to Thee the praise and the honor, and not to touch the glory, for Thou alone art worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're turning in our Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. We're reading together from the opening verse of this scripture. Philippians chapter 3 and the opening verse. Let us hear the word of God today. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye of us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word to all of our hearts. Well, boys and girls, we're thinking today about the message that has been going out over recent months. And perhaps you're tired hearing all of these messages about restrictions, the things that you can't do that you normally would have done, boys and girls. But one of the messages is, stay safe. Stay safe, boys and girls. And how important that message is. Even as we approach the Christmas season, when lots of parties may normally take place, but they can't really take place this year in the same way anyway. So stay safe, boys and girls. That's the message that is going out from government. And that's the message that we need to hear. And we need to obey, boys and girls, because we are to submit ourselves to the law of the land. And boys and girls, when we think about the word stay safe, we think about their application to us generally in life. We have to stay safe as we go out. If we're going to cross the road, we have to stay safe and mind the traffic and go across at the proper crossing and when the lights are for us and we go across in a proper manner. We have to stay safe on the roads. We have to stay safe in so many aspects of our lives from day to day, boys and girls. But you know, the Bible talks about being safe. And that safety is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. in knowing him as our Savior and Lord. The hymn writer said, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. And boys and girls, we can stay safe if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we ask him into our hearts, he will give us that safety, not only for now, during the time of these restrictions, but for all time and for all eternity. Will you today stay safe? Will you today come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Ask him to take away all your sin and ask him to make you a new person in himself, that you might, boys and girls, stay safe. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. We're going to hear the chorus twice through this morning. Away far beyond Jordan, we'll meet in that land. Oh, won't it be grand? Away far beyond Jordan, we'll meet in that beautiful land. And I know if you're at home with those in your own home, you can shake hands, but you can't do it, of course, outside to others. But you'll be able to do it, no doubt, there in your own home today. And so you can join in as this chorus is played through twice. We do extend to you all a welcome this morning to our online service, and we trust the Lord will bless you as you've met with us on this special day, and we meet together on the Lord's Day, and we worship the Lord. Do remember, please, the season of prayer in our own homes this afternoon as we continue to seek the Lord's face for his intervention and for his help in these times in which we live. We ought to thank the Lord, too, for his intervention, even with the progress that has been made with the vaccines that will become available even very, very soon, and we trust will be of help to many, many people and all of us in future times in the months ahead. Could I mention the evening service again live on Sermon Audio? Tonight we will preach on the subject, So Great Salvation. The Bible speaks about God's so great salvation. Do join us for our evening gospel service at 7 online. Today is my 16th anniversary as minister of Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church. And I thank you for all your support and prayers over those years since 2004 until now, 2020. We thank the Lord for his goodness. Wednesday at 8 p.m., the Bible study and prayer meeting, again online, and the survey of the New Testament books continue this week. It is the Epistle to the Philippians. Do join us online for this Bible study and for the season of prayer. And then on Friday night, the youth fellowship will be on Zoom. Again, do link in with this. Parents, or young people, encourage your young people to join with us. The link will be sent out on the WhatsApp beforehand so that you can get that and link in on Zoom for Friday night for all the young people. Now, next Lord's Day at 11:30 and 7, God willing, both services will be back in the church and church building, and I will be preaching at both services. Do remember that. We look forward to seeing all your faces again. Don't know about you looking at my face again, but anyway, we look forward to being in the house of God again, the Lord willing, at the services next Lord's Day and having fellowship together around the Word of God. Remember the prayer meeting prior to the evening service in the youth room upstairs from 6:20 to 6:45 before the evening service. Next Lord's Day is our building fund at both services. All loose collections and building fund envelopes at the exits are for the building fund next Lord's Day. Normally at this time we'd be having our offering, so you can set aside your offerings until next Lord's Day when we meet. Pray for all who are sick, who have lost loved ones at this time, and pray for those who have appointments even this week and various consultations. The hand of God will be upon them for good. The current issue of the Vision magazine will be available at the services next Lord's Day for those who have ordered them. See our brother Robert Catterson also to pay for your subscription for the magazine, the Vision magazine for 2021. That would be due now shortly, and if you can see our brother Robert about that when you see him next Lord's Day or as soon as you can, then please do that. Also see Robert for LTB calendars. If there are any remaining, you can see him about that when we return to church. The price, those are £3. Could I say a word of congratulations today to Deal and Natasha on the birth of their second daughter? And we trust the Lord will bless them as a family and also offer our congratulations to the excited grandparents as well. And trust that as a family, they will know the blessing of God, not only upon them now, but upon them in the days to come. And we're going to join in the singing of a hymn before we come to God's Word today. Hymn number 39 in your hymn book. If you have a hymn book there at home, you can turn and sing along. 191 is the page number. Hymn number 39, God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Number 39 in our own hymn book.
Thank you.
Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. Lord, give prevailing words this day, we pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to turn your attention today to the Word of God in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, and the verses 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The subject today is pressing on. Pressing on. It's always dangerous to think you have arrived. You've reached the highest point. You've achieved everything that you could possibly achieve. Paul the Apostle never got into that mindset. Yet under God he had accomplished so much. From the moment of his conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ, he had taken such territory, much territory, for the Lord. Churches had been formed. Believers established in the faith. And the Lord's work was going forward on so many fronts. And yet he remained humble. He had that lowliness of mind, never thinking of himself more highly than he ought to think. See what he said there in Ephesians chapter 3. And verse 8, unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You see, Paul took the humble place. He sought to be clothed with humility, as one would be clothed with a garment. And how easy it is for a minister of Christ to get above himself and to think himself to be something or somebody when really he is nothing. He is just a nobody. He is just one God has called and has set apart to be a preacher of the Word of God. You remember Peter, he got swelled up with pride. And you remember when the Lord spoke about the cross and about going to the cross. And Peter said he would never be offended. And yet, of course, we know that sadly, Peter denied his Lord on three occasions. And we too can get so easily swelled up with pride and think we have done all that there is to be done. We have climbed the mountain and we can survey the scene around about us from a lofty perch, and admire our achievements. But Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Paul here in this passage of God's Word, in Philippians chapter 3, was guarding himself and those to whom he wrote against thinking along these lines. You see what he says in verse 12 in this passage here? Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Not as though I had already attained. This is the statement of a great Christian, and yet one who never permitted himself to be satisfied with his spiritual attainments. Obviously, Paul was satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was not satisfied
where there's Christian life. And you know, my friends, a sanctified dissatisfaction is the first step in essential progress in the Christian race. Harry came out of the manager's office with a look on his face that was dismal enough to wilt the roses on the secretary's desk. She asked him, "Did you get fired?" "No," he replied, "it's not that bad. But the boss sure lay into me about my sales record. I can't figure it out, for in the past month, I've been bringing in plenty of orders. I thought he would compliment me, but instead he told me to get at it." Later in the day, the secretary talked to the boss about Harry, and the boss laughed. He said, "Harry is one of my best salesmen, and I'd hate to lose him. But he has the tendency to rest on his laurels and be satisfied with his performance. If I didn't get mad with him once a month, he'd never produce the goods." And you know, many Christians are self-satisfied because they compare their running in the race with that of other Christians, usually those who are not making any progress. Had Paul compared himself to others, he would have been tempted to be proud and to let up a bit in the Christian race. And after all, there were not too many believers in Paul's day that had experienced all the things that he had experienced. But Paul did not compare himself with others. He compared himself and with the Lord Jesus Christ. The dual use of the word perfect here in verse 12 and verse 15 explains his thinking. He had not yet arrived at perfection, verse 12. But he was perfect, that is, mature, verse 15. And one mark of this maturity is the knowledge that he was not perfect. He had not yet attained. And the mature Christian honestly evaluates himself or herself and strives to do better, to go on, to make progress, to run in the race. Paul was ever seeking to move forward, to advance. And we must keep that, dear friends, to the forefront of our minds. As ministers of the gospel and as those Christians who seek to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, even in this day in which we live. And so we come to our theme today, pressing on, and to our text in verses 13 to 14 of Philippians chapter 3. There are three things that I want to emphasize in this text today. First of all, we have Paul's recognition. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Verse 13. And often in the Word of God, we are warned against a false estimate of our spiritual condition. For example, we have the church there at Sardis in Revelation 3 and 1. "They had a name that thou livest and art dead." You see, they had reputation without reality. And you have the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3, 17. "Who boasted that it was rich and increased with goods, that it need of nothing. But in God's sight it was wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." In contrast to the Laodicean church, the believers at Smyrna thought they were poor, but they were really rich. Revelation 2:9. In the Old Testament, we think of Samson. He thought he still had his old power, but in reality, it had departed from him. Judges 16:20. "He wist not that the Lord had departed from him." And self-evaluation can be a dangerous thing because we can err in two directions. First of all, we can err in making ourselves better than we are. And secondly, we can err in making ourselves worse than we really are. But Paul had no illusions about himself. He recognized that he had yet much progress to make. He wanted to know more of Christ. Look at verse 10 of the passage we read from earlier. Philippians 3 and 10. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. He longed for more communion and more fellowship with the Lord, more closeness with the Savior. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious wounded side. He wanted to move forward in order to lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of for him. There was this divine dissatisfaction, and that is essential for spiritual progress. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. The psalmist declared in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, thirsting more for him, more of our Lord and Savior. Is that your thirst right now, even today? The fact that Paul was aware that he had not accomplished what he knew to be the mind of Christ for him only increased his endeavor to reach out to be what God wanted him to be. And the opening words here in our text introduces the apostle's appraisal of the situation. He's quick to inform the brethren that he does not count himself to have laid hold of this great truth. There are many things that Paul does value that are his in Christ. For the word used here is the word that is continually used in the Epistle of Romans relating to the believer's place in Christ as far as salvation is concerned. The word used to express the positional truth that we are brought into by faith. In Romans chapter 4, the word is used 11 times. I count. Remember the word count? Romans 4, 3, where faith is counted for righteousness. Romans 4, 4, salvation is not of works, but reckoned of grace. Chapter 4 of Romans, verse 5 again, his faith is counted for righteousness. Chapter 4, verse 6, the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness. And yet again, chapter 4, verse 8 of Romans, the blessing when the Lord will not impute sin. These quotations are sufficient to describe what we have received by faith in Christ. And Paul had received much. And so have we received so much through our salvation and through our coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and through our experience of his grace and his mercy toward us. Then Paul uses the word in relation to his service, which was being questioned by many at Corinth. In chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1, he says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. You see, Paul accounts it a small thing that he has judged of men. He will not judge his own service. That must be the Lord. Look there again at 1 Corinthians 4 verses 3 to 5. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have the praise of God. It would be well for all of us who serve the Lord to keep these verses of Scripture in mind. It is not our business to please men, but to be found faithful. As verse 2 of that passage there in 1 Corinthians 4 declares, how often is the work of God marred by the servants of God seeking to please men and not being faithful to the Lord? It's also a sad reality that those who, like Paul, seek to minister faithfully often receive abuse as a result. But as far as his spiritual attainments are concerned, the apostle is not only too ready to confess that the purpose of God for him and his desire to fulfill it had not been reached. He had not yet attained. And neither have we. We're still in the race. We're still involved in the Lord's service. We're still seeking to live for Christ in a wicked and in a sinful and an evil world. But I want you to notice the second thing here, his resolve. Look at verse 13 again. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Notice his singularity here. This one thing I do. One thing. That's a phrase that is very, very important to the Christian life. You think of Mark chapter 10, verse 21. One thing thou lackest, said Jesus to that self-righteous young ruler who came to him. One thing is needful, he explained to the busy Martha when she criticized her sister Mary who was sitting at Jesus' feet. One thing I know, exclaimed the man in John 9 who had received his sight by the power of Christ, John 9, 25. The psalmist said in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. You see, too many Christians are involved in too many things. When the secret of progress is to concentrate on one thing, it was this decision that was a turning point in the life and ministry of D.L. Moody. Before the tragedy of the Chicago fire in 1871, Mr. Moody was involved in Sunday school promotion and YMCA work and evangelistic meetings and many other activities. But after the fire, he determined to devote himself exclusively to evangelism. And this one thing I do became a reality to him. And as a result, millions heard the gospel. He was totally focused upon it. There are not many people who can multitask, even in ordinary aspects of life. Some can, of course, we know. There are always the exceptions. But so it is in the Lord's work. And I've learned through the years to back off from certain things and to focus more and more on the ministry of the Word of God in the place where God has called me to labor. The believer must devote himself or herself to running the Christian race. No athlete succeeds by doing everything. He or she succeeds by specializing. There are few athletes who seem to be proficient in many sports. There are not many who can do the various rigors of the various aspects of athletics. There are the exceptions, of course. But the winners are those who concentrate, who keep their eyes on the goal, let nothing distract them. They are devoted entirely to their calling. Like Nehemiah, the wall-building governor, they reply to the distracting invitations. Nehemiah 6 and verse 3, he said, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James 1 and 8. You see, concentration is the secret of power. We must concentrate ourselves. This one thing I do, this was in the mind of the apostle. This must be in our minds today. In my mind today, as a preacher of the gospel, this one thing I do. If a river is allowed to overflow its banks, the area around it will become a swamp. But if that river is dammed and controlled, it becomes a source of power. You see, it's wholly a matter of values and priorities, living for that which matters most. And for Paul, it was living for Christ. And it was serving Christ. And so it must be for all of us. He had this singularity. This one thing I do. He was settled concerning it. It's the second thing here. Forgetting those things which are behind, verse 13, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The unsaved person is controlled by the past, but the Christian running the race looks toward the future. Imagine what would happen in a race if the participants started looking behind them. It's bad enough for the plowman to look back. And the Lord speaks of that in Luke 9:62. If a man look back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. But for a runner to do that means a possible collision, a serious injury to himself and to others. You see, the believer needs to have a settled mind concerning the future. Notice the words, forgetting those things which are behind. Keep in mind this biblical terminology, to forget. It does not mean to fail to remember. Unless because of some malfunction of the brain, no mature person can forget what has happened in the past. We may wish we could erase certain memories, but we cannot. To forget, in Bible terms, means to no longer to be influenced by or affected by. When God says in Hebrews 10:17, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He's not suggesting he will conveniently have a bad memory. That's impossible for God. What God is saying, I will no longer hold your sins against you. Your sins have been dealt with. Your sins can no longer affect your standing with me or influence my attitude towards you. So forgetting those things which are behind simply means we break with the power of the past by living for the future. We cannot change the past, but we can change the meaning of the past. There were things in Paul's past that he could have weighed, been weights upon him and would have held him up. But they became inspirations to speed him ahead. The events did not change, but his understanding of them changed. A great example of this is with Joseph in Genesis 45, verses 1 to 15, when he met his brothers the second time, and many of you remember the story. And he revealed himself to them. He held no grudge against them. To be sure, they had mistreated and they had abused him. But he saw the past from God's point of view. And as a result, he was unable to hold any grudge against his brothers. Joseph knew that God had a plan for his life, you see. A race that he had to run. And fulfilling that plan, looking ahead, he broke the power of the past. Live for the future. And you know, too many of us are shackled by regrets of the past. We're trying to run the Christian race, looking backward. Cannot do that. No wonder many stumble and fall and get in the way of each other in the Christian race. Some Christian runners are being distracted even by the successes of the past. Not just the failures. And that's just as bad. The things which are behind must be set aside. And the things which are before must take their place. You see, his resolve, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. But now we come to the third and final thing. It was in the mind of the apostle here, his readiness. Look at verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The idea here in pressing is that of intense endeavor. The Greeks used it to describe a hunter eagerly pursuing their prey. A person doesn't become a winning athlete by listening to lectures or watching videos or reading books or cheering at the games. They become winners by getting involved in the actual race and determining to win. The same zeal that Paul employed when he persecuted the church, he displayed in serving Christ. Come to think of it, wouldn't it be wonderful if we all put as much determination into our spiritual lives as we put into our other endeavors of life? There are two extremes to avoid here. Number one, I must do it all. Number two, God must do it all. The first describes the activist and the second the quietist. And both are heading for failure. Let go and let God. That's a slogan that fully describes the process of Christian living. Let go and let God. Surrendering ourselves to do the will of God. And God aiding us and helping us in the doing of it. Assisting us and empowering us in the doing of it. What captain of a team would say to his team members, okay, let's go out and let the coach do it all. Again, what captain would say, listen to me and forget what the coach says. Both extremes are wrong, you see. The person who has a readiness to run the Christian race with a spiritual mind realizes that God must work in them if they are to win the race. Go back, if you will, to chapter 2 of Philippians, verses 12 to 13. Chapter 2 of Philippians, verses 12 to 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yes, we have our responsibility to engage in the race, but it's God that worketh in us, enabling us to do it. For without him, without the Lord, you can do nothing. God works in us that he might work through us. And as we apply ourselves to the things of the spiritual life, God is able to mature us and strengthen us for the race. Paul, in writing to his young son in the faith, Timothy, in 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, he exhorted him to exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And you know, dear friends, we can be so busy dying to self that we never come back to life again to run the race. Others are so sure they can make it on their own that they never stop to read the Word of God and to pray and to ask for the power of God. You see the goal here? He's pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When we receive the command to go and to do the work of God, and when we engage in that work, then we reach the goal and we will receive the reward. He's not suggesting that we reach heaven by our own efforts. He's simply saying that just as the athlete is rewarded for their performance, so the faithful believer will be rewarded by the Lord. You can take time to read 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. While only one athlete may receive a prize, all Christians may receive a reward. And the rewards at Olympic Games or other major games Our events will fade, but the crown that Christ gives will never fade. The important thing, brethren and sisters in Christ, is that we reach the goal that He has set before us. No matter how successful we may be in the eyes of men, we cannot be rewarded unless we follow after that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus, as Paul said in verse 12 here. Our grace comes from our being apprehended by Christ Jesus. It's not our laying hold of Christ first, but His laying hold of us, which is our happiness and salvation. Let us press on, brethren and sisters. Let us not give up. Let us not fall out of the race. Let us endure to the end. No opting out. No taking it easy. No seeking some shortcut or another, thinking, well, I get there in the end. I'll take a shortcut. I remember many years ago doing football training at school. And part of that involved running round what is known in Belfast as the Boulevard. And then right up onto the Ormo Road, in through the gates of the Ormo Park there, and right down to the school again. It was quite a trek. But some saw the shortcut. In through some of the gates there along the Boulevard, you could go in through some of them, across the football pitches and onto the track again, and you'd be at the school in no time. But there was no prize for those that did that. No place in the team for Saturday morning. They were called out by a teacher or teachers who were waiting along the path. And so it is in the Christian race. We must press on along the path, no shortcuts, to obtain the prize in glory. The crown that is waiting for those who continue to the end of the race. Paul displayed a readiness to endure, to keep on going on, to press on. May it be so with you and me today. Let us press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, pressing on. But maybe you've never started the race. You're not saved. You've never come to Christ. Oh, that you might come to Him today. Be saved. Trust in Christ. Turn from your sin. Believe. And be saved even now. May God help you to do so. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou wilt write Thy word upon hearts. We pray that Thou wilt speak today, O God, to those that have heard the message. And we pray that there'll be a pressing on by all of us who know Thee, to serve Thee and to live for Thee in these times in which we live. Heavenly Father, for those who are not saved, lead them to Christ this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Could I turn you to our closing hymn? It's the hymn 439. I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How He has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross He suffered, shed His blood and died, that I might ever in His love confide. Do join in the singing of this at home. It's on page 353 of our hymn book, hymn number 439.
listening to the service in Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church this morning. We trust the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. Let us pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.